We have a solemn promise from God in the prophecy of Ezekiel. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to make them one nation. Now, I think I've mentioned this before. You see, that was part of Jesus' plan, was to make them one nation and to scatter the ten, together the ten lost tribes. And he did. But not here. In heaven. You just read chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. I've mentioned this before. And from the tribe of Reuben, 144,000. From the tribe of Gad, 144,000. From the tribe of Asher, 144,000, and so forth. The tribe of Zebulun, 144,000. They're gathered by the blood of Christ in heaven. But this plan of God, this act of God, is meant to extend to every part of the world. And there is a new people of God. And so we have this marvelous text. My servant David shall be prince over them. That's Jesus. He's the son of David. It's at moments like this that all the sacred writings begin to open up for us. And we see the plan and the promise of God. I will make with them a covenant of peace. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. This is my blood of the new covenant. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's covenant terminology. But I want to look. That's the stage that's being set by that prophecy of Ezekiel, which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But we can understand something of our Lord Jesus Christ if we understand what God wrote. After all, that's the Dabar, right? That's the word. That's Jesus. Okay, and I'm going to look at another text in a moment. Many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen what Jesus had done began to believe in him. They moved toward him. Now, John is tough on this. He uses the word believe in a whole gamut of meanings. Now, he can do that sometimes because the Greek language has words like at the resurrection, John looked into the tomb and he saw, and our translations are, and he believed. But it's very subtle. It's an aorist, an inceptive aorist. He began to believe. Finally. Finally. And yet it says, after Cana, this was the first of the signs that Jesus did and his disciples believed in him. Moving toward Jesus, you see, is a process. Well, who finally believes? John of the Cross? Mother Teresa? The rest of us are still sort of Sunday golfers, you see, trying to get there. And so, I know I got to watch the time. I'm not watching it well, but many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what Jesus began to believe in him. They put the "began" there this time. But, this is powerful. Tines de, but, some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. What's the "but" for? They didn't believe. And they went to snitch on him. They went to be on the Pharisee side, at the winning side. Now we're going to watch, in the little time we've got, this fight between light and darkness, moving through human lives. So the chief priests and the Pharisees, I'm doing this because this is a chance for us to purify our hearts and to move closer to Jesus in believing. Okay? Believe means, of course, you turn over your whole life. The way John uses these words, to believe of this word, pistevin, I'm talking about. But another is to believe into, to believe in. But it's not in like, I believe in the Constitution. It's a movement of spirit. I believe is with the accusative. What am I going to say? That's is with the accusative. It means a movement into. Faith is a movement into Jesus. It's not just subscribing to a proposition. I've got to keep on going. But you understand? And this is the day before we began Holy Week. This man is performing many signs. And if we leave him alone, all will believe in him. Absolutely true. And now see how they twist it. Now watch Satan go to work. And the Romans will come and take away both our land and our nation. Who gave them the land? The Romans? No, God. We do this, my friends. But you see, darkness, we're surrounded by it. It's in us. Then one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, you know nothing. Nor do you consider that it is better for you, that one man should die in our translation instead of the people. It's one of those marvelous words that the scriptures are full of. Instead of, yes, but on behalf of. Now he means, you know, let one man die and the rest of us will save our skins. You see. Now he did not say this on his own, but since he was high priest for that year, he prophesied. Now do you see again the, on one level, he's proclaiming God's plan. On another level, what is he doing? He's effecting Satan's plan. Do you see light and darkness? And they're at work. Pick up the newspaper. Don't. But do you see? This is such a lesson for us. And to gather into one the dispersed children of God. That's Jesus' goal. All of us. So from that day on, they planned to kill him. So Jesus no longer walked with them. As I was reading this, I understood Psalm 2 in a brand new way. And I just want to read a bit of it, because this mystery of God, this light and darkness, is all around us. Why do the nations, oh dear, protest? No. Why are they in uproar? The nations, why are the goyim? And the peoples, you see, conspire, that's almost a good word, in vain. The whole world's going to rebel against God. Puh. See? Kings rise up, princes rise up against the Lord and against his Messiah. Let us break their shackles, cast off their... We don't want God to tell us what to do. We want to be the absolute masters of reality. You will know good and evil. Yeah. You will do what you want and you will say whether it's good or evil. Let us cast off their shackles, their chains. Now listen. The Psalms are tough sometimes, right? The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord derides them. And then we have the oracle of the Messiah. You see? It is Saturday, so we got a couple more minutes, but it's important that we get ready for Holy Week. These are not ceremonies we're going through, they're sacraments. Okay. And he speaks to them in his anger. I myself have installed my king. Malki, my king. Jesus. In Zion. And now the king, just appointed, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Now in the enthronement ceremony, at this point the king is considered and does take on a special role of sonship. Remember the promise in 2 Samuel 7:14? I will be a father to him. And this king, David, and his successors, and he will be a son to me. He is installed as king. Now do you see why? I forgot to count, but let's say 10 or 12 times in the New Testament, this line is quoted to prove the resurrection. That's when the Messiah is installed as king. And you have it all the time. You have it in, I'll give you one text and then we'll move on. Acts, it's about 13, I hope, 1331. Paul is in, given a speech. It's remarkable what happens here. I should have brought a Bible with bigger print, it looks like. Anyway, Paul is speaking, given this speech, and he says, oh, here it is. Paul's address. And then, you see, and he raised him up, as it says in the second Psalm, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. Anybody with spiritual eyes to see can see that that's what that text was talking about for a millennium. Now is fulfilled. Jesus, our Messiah, who is the living, eternal Son of God, has been raised in his humanity, and he is king forever. You are my son. You are my son. This is what it says in Romans, right in the opening chapter, that he was oristhentos. He was designated, appointed, Son of God by resurrection from the dead. And so, our Jesus, who is so kind to us, is king. Why are the nations raging? Why are kings against the Lord and against his Messiah? Let us throw off their shackles. Let us, do you hear it? And then, because I say the Psalms are tough, he who sits in heaven laughs. Why? Listen. The Lord said to me, you are my son. This day I have begotten you. I am the Lord of this universe. And I promise you, as he promised the people in the book of Revelation, right? I promise you, justice will be worked. All my dear friends who are suffering in prison, who are suffering all sorts of things, they will be vindicated. Don't make any mistake about it. And we have to tell the Lord, look, we're on your side. It might not amount to much, but it could amount to something.